Today's message by Pastor Nathaniel is going to be on James chapter 1, 19-26. So open up the iPads, phones, and follow on the screen. Ooh, it's a little tough. Okay. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Heavy words. Let's turn the time over to Pastor Nathaniel.
All right. Good morning. All right. Hopefully the mic won't go crazy this time. Okay, can you hear me? Is this okay? Yeah. All right. Happy Father's Day. This is my first Father's Day, and it feels like any other day. Every day I'm a father. It's great, though. I was thinking about Father's Day, and I didn't really do anything for my dad this year. We went bowling yesterday. We had dinner and stuff, but I don't know. I was thinking, you know, God is our Father, right? James, the first part that I preached about last week, talked about he's the Father of lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes from, right? Just think about it. Every good, perfect gift, right? That's from our Father. That's from God. And so I just wanted to spend a minute praying, and we could pray silently and just thank God. Just imagine you're writing a Father's Day card to your dad. And what would you write in that card, writing it to God, your Father? You can just imagine writing, or you could speak it out loud or whatever you want. I'm just going to leave it silent for like 2 minutes, and I'll close, and we'll move into the passage. Let's pray. For your word, we thank you for your son Jesus, God, the word in flesh. God, this word is able to save our souls. God, we pray that that we wouldn't be deceived, that we would know who you are, that we would know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. God, I pray that you wouldn't think that the evil in this world is caused by you, that you do not tempt us, God, that you cannot be tempted and do not tempt. Lord, may our hearts cry out to you. In our times of trouble, in our times of trial, God, may we turn to you first. A God who is so generous. So, Lord, we lift up this day to you. God, we praise you and we thank you for the awesome Father that you are. And we pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. So I had an idea. I was thinking about, just what I was sharing about, like, what if we actually had a card and we wrote, you know, like when we do birthday cards and we pass it around to everybody and everyone writes it. We're not going to do that because it's kind of awkward. But I was thinking about that, right? I hate writing cards because I never know what to say. And when you do it with like a big group, you just start looking at what other people wrote and you're just like, you know, they're looking for ideas. And it's hard to write things when you don't know the person. And sometimes I feel like that's how it'd be with God. Maybe for some of us in this room, it's like, maybe that prayer was hard because it's, I don't really know you. And so lots of times when we talk to him, it's just like, thank you for this day, right? It's like, that's me as generic as I can be because I don't know what to say. I don't really know you. I don't know how to talk to you. And I'm just going to write the stuff that everybody else is writing because it's so strange. And so this is what I've been encouraging you with, hopefully every time I preach, is that when we read the Bible, we're not just like reading text. It's not just like history. This is God revealing himself to you. And so when we read, we need to be looking for, what does this tell me about God more than anything else? And when we learn about God, we're going to learn about who we are. And we're going to learn about what we're supposed to do. And it's going to be much, much easier for you to talk to a God that you know. This is a part of our series we've been going through on Friday nights on prayer, right? Is if you just met a stranger, your conversation is really awkward and weird. And the more time you spend with someone, the more you get to know them, the easier and easier it is to talk to someone. And you're going to find that your prayer life gets easier and easier the more you know God. And so I just encourage you, like every time we preach, every time you read your word, get to know this person. And your spiritual life will be so much more fruitful than it's ever been before. You're going to find that your prayers will be different. It's not going to be the exact same prayer you pray every single time because you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. The easy answer is you just need to build this relationship, right? We need to see God as our Father, and the Word speaks through that throughout the whole Bible. Some of us have a hard time relating the image of God as a Father, and if we do, lots of times we project it to our own father sometimes, and it gets all kind of skewed and weird, and sometimes we don't know how to talk to our own dad, so how are we supposed to talk to God? And so we got to understand who he is and how he presents himself. And so I just want to encourage you with that every time we read the word, every time I preach. So we're going to go into, we started a series. We're going through James, started last week. And I'm going to do a little bit of review. Let's see. I don't know if this works. Can we do the next slide? Oh, great. There we go. Perfect. Review. Read over here. Was that you guys? Was that not me? Okay. So last week we did James chapter 1. Okay, context, right? James is teaching to these group of Jewish believers. There might be some non-Jewish people there too, but basically it's probably written around the time that Stephen was martyred, and so all these Jews are scared for their lives that they're going to be persecuted, and so they scatter. It says to the 12 tribes scattered amongst this place, okay? And so these people are going under trial, okay? They're scared that they could lose their life for their faith. And he's saying, hey, count it all joy, my brethren, when you face various trials. Consider a good thing when you face trials because you'll persevere. And if you persevere through these trials, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, right? But if any of you are lacking, if you are lacking in wisdom, then we have a God who gives so generously. Ask him, and he will give it to you. If you're lacking, ask God who is perfect and complete, and he can make you perfect and complete. Right? But when you ask, don't be double-minded. Or you're just deceiving yourselves. You're not going to receive anything. All right? We talked about what it means to be double-minded. There's a man who pursues money, and there's the people who love God. One ends up with death, and one ends up with the crown of life. Right? Those who love God, it's like, I just want God for who He is. And there's those who are double-minded, it's like, I want the stuff, God. Right? He said, like, it's kind of like a gold digger. It's like, we just want your things. We don't really want you. And God's saying, if you're double-minded in that way, don't expect to receive anything. You don't want me. You don't get the stuff, you know, my stuff. It's like, that doesn't make sense in any relationship. That's how it works, right? Don't be double. Be single-minded. Let your mind be set on Christ. And everything that's His is yours. And God wants to give you all those things. Ask and it will be given. Right? Those who love God will receive the crown of life. God cannot be tempted and tempts no one, but each man is tempted by his own desire. Right? The problem is, most of the time you're like, God, why do you make all this bad stuff happen in my life? And it's causing me to sin, and it's ultimately causing me to die. And God's saying, no, that's not me. That's you. We have these desires for these other things, for sin, essentially. That's our problem. God doesn't tempt us. In fact, God only gives good gifts. Every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights. And that ends in this section. And this is the most important part, because this is going to tie in to today's section. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So God is this awesome, good God, okay? The Father of lights, no varying, no change of shadow, like it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Always good. Always gives good and perfect gifts. He's saying, and you know what? You're born of my word. This is who you are. You're a reflection of me. And this is going to be the setup for all the rest of this chapter, okay? It's all about the word. We're going to get in. I have a little bit more. God and His goodness and generosity. Birth the child of the word. Perfect. That's what I said. Okay. We're going to read today's passage. James chapter 1. I'm going back to verse 18. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is all about the word, okay? Like last time, I saw this theme of like God giving, and He's really generous, and you'll receive crown of life. You see it over and over again. This one is clearly the word, okay? And so it starts off by saying, you guys are people of the Word. Okay, you were born of the Word. You're created to do things of the Word. Okay? What do people of the Word look like? All right? They should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If this means that we're reflections of God, this like blew my mind when I was reading this, is that everything God asks us to do is something that He would do, okay? I've never known a person who is more quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger than God. And a lot of us think like God is like so angry and like is always out to get us, but if you really read the Bible, and you see how many chances Israel got and like how much grace God had for them. And we're talking about Father's Day. Imagine God has all these grown-up baby children. We're such babies. And if I was God, I would, my quick to anger would, like, you guys were so bad. And maybe for your kids, some of you parents, like, you're just like, I've had it up here with your kids and what you're doing. This is ridiculous. I'm not having any of this. And I don't think God is like that. And I actually think God hears his people's cries. He is quick to listen to all of our complaints and everything, right? And you'd be like, no, I'm sick of that. I don't want to hear this anymore. You're just grumbling, complaining. I'm going to leave you guys alone. You don't want me, you don't get me. But God's not like that. God is really faithful. He's stuck with the Israelites. He's sticking with us even through all of our sin. He's so quick to hear everything we have to say. And he's slow to speak. And that kind of frustrates some of us sometimes, right? Like, God, why don't you answer me? I wonder how much we would like it if God didn't hear us and just spoke over us. So I know better than you. Don't. I already know what you're going to say. You know, this is how it's supposed to be. I'm God and I know best. Maybe some of us feel like we'd like that. But that's not very relational. God is a good father. He hears us. And he will speak. But he doesn't speak over us. And he's very slow to anger. And this is what we're called to be as people of the Word. This is what our life should look like. I don't know about you, but the most godly people I've met on this earth look like this. When you think about the godly people in your life, are they always really quick to speak? Right? Easily angered? No, they're usually like, spoken. They're good at listening. You ever thought about that? Those are the people in your life. Those are the people you want as your friends, as the people around you. Right? People that can listen to you. People that hear you. And aren't just trying to tell you and fix your life and speak over you. They're not angered by every little thing that you do. There's so much grace in that. That's who God is, and that's who we're called to be. That's what it looks like, and here's the opposite of what it's not supposed to look like. Well, for the anger of man does not produce righteousness. I don't know if you've ever... That makes perfect sense, right? Imagine that James is speaking to people under trial, okay? There's real testing of their faith going on. It's hard not to get angry in those moments. I fail to do this so much. The times I always immediately think about is all my fights with my wife. Right? I have so much to say. I get so defensive so fast that sometimes she criticizes me at all. And all of a sudden, all these words are just flying out, and it's just like, there's no righteousness in this and what's going on. I am doing anything but being righteous. I am definitely not listening. I'm hearing, but I'm not listening, right? I'm hearing the things she's saying, but I'm not understanding what she's actually trying to communicate to me. Like, hey, maybe you need to do this better. And instead of thinking about what I should be doing, I'm thinking about how, hey, that's not fair. Well, you're like this, and you're like this, and you're like this, and I'm not really listening. And I'm so quick to speak. Okay. Should I just use this? All right. Sorry, guys.
So we need to be people of the Word, right? And on the flip side, what people of the Word don't look like, right? It says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word. Before Christ, we lived a life of wickedness. We pursued money and all those other things. We pursued the world that ultimately leads to death. And God is saying, put away all that stuff. That's not who you are anymore. Who you are, you're people of the Word. You're reflectors of me. Right? Put all this filthiness, all this wickedness, all this unrighteousness away. And receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. I have a question. What can save our souls? Souls is just another word for life. What saves us? If we read anywhere in the Bible, what saves us? Jesus, right? you don't get saved by reading the Bible, okay? Yes, in some sense you do, but not in the way that it's like talking about, right? Like our souls, our very beings. The Word is Jesus, okay? The Word became flesh. Receive Jesus in your life. And it can save your souls. It can save your very life. This is who you are. Receive it. Receive what God has birthed you from. Live this life out. This is what you're called to. We are people of the Word. We're people of Jesus. We need to be reflectors of that. But be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face, at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and once he forgets what he looks like, and at once he forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So not only are we people of the Word, but we are doers of the Word. Okay? This is hard for me because I am not a doer. Okay? I am a beer, and I'm just happy that I am saved and I live my good Christian life, and I just, you know, like God saved me and this is great. But God is saying, you know, we are called to more. I'm not just born into it, but I live what I'm born out of, I naturally live out. Right? Like if you're born in a family, I am a Fong. Naturally, I do Fong things because that's who I am. And you are born of the Word, so naturally you're supposed to be doing things of the Word. You're not doing things of someone else's family. You're not doing things of filthiness and wickedness and this other thing because that's not what you're born of. Be doers of the Word and not just hearers. This is for everyone who's ever sat on this side of preaching or message. I can't tell you, even for me, every single Sunday you hear a sermon, you hear it, and then it's gone. It's like you looked in the mirror and you have all this crud all over your face, and you just walked away and did nothing about it. Back then, they didn't actually have like mirrors, okay? But it's like almost like looking in like iron or something, or like it's kind of fuzzy. And so you had to really stare into it in order to see like what was going on with your face, okay? And he's saying this is like a man who looks at it, like it's all kind of fuzzy. He's like, oh, okay. And he just kind of walks off. He's saying, no, like we need to look into like a real mirror, okay? And you can see it and you stare into it and you're fixing, you're putting on your powder or whatever, right? And you do it, right? It should help you. And God's saying, this mirror is the Bible for us. It's the Word. The perfect law. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Have you ever, we can't just change from hearing the message, right? You don't just come sit here and then leave and then all of a sudden everything's better, right? There needs to be application. There needs to be fruit, right, of who you are. And I want to be careful when I say this because works doesn't bring about salvation, okay? The Word can save your soul. Not our doing things, okay? It's all about knowing Jesus. And this is why I want to bring this caution where it says, be quick to hear, okay? It doesn't say be quick to do, okay? The focus needs to be on, we need to be in the Word. I know a lot of doers. I know a lot of Christian doers. But the sad thing is that they don't know the Word, so they can't be doers of the Word. They're so quick to act and to do all these things. I have all these great ideas, but it's like, did you even hear from God? Did he even ask you does he even want or need these things? You know, it's like, and they say it in Jesus' name that I'm doing all these things. And sometimes it's great. It's good. You know, they're, and I think God understands too. Like, they're trying to serve him. I get that, and that's great. And we should encourage that kind of thing. But at the same time, what we're called to do is to be quick to hear. Okay? And this is good news for me because I'm not always doing it. I don't think God's saying you need to be doing stuff all the time. It's just like your life should reflect it naturally. As you receive the word implanted, you're going to be doing the word because this is who you are. And guess what? This word persevere shows up again. If you're under trial and if you persevere, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know what helps you persevere through trials? First, it's praying, right? Ask God and he can give it to you. You know what the next thing is? Reading the word. I don't know about you, but when I read the word, it's much easier for me to get through trials. I am so much a better husband to my wife after some time that I've recently been in the Word. It's strange. Well, it's not really strange, but in some ways, right? It's like, I can tell that when I'm getting really frustrated, that I haven't really worked on my relationship with God. How can I love my wife as Christ loves the church if I don't spend time with Christ? If I don't know how Christ loves me? If I don't understand how Christ loves the church? I'm not as quick to anger after I've been in the Word. I know that. When I see the kind of love God has, and I understand how much a sinner I am through the Word, and how much patience God has for me, it's much easier for me to be patient with other people and to be more loving. I don't have to speak over them and get angry because they did this and this and this and this. No, I can hear them. And when I need to, I'll speak. I will speak and say something, but it's going to be in such a better tone. And this word is able to save my soul, my life. And I can use this word to help other people and their lives. That's the power of the word. It can help you endure through all of these trials that you have in your life. If you find yourself getting really angry and lacking during a trial, turn to God, right? Pray and ask him. Go to the word. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is kind of like everything repeated over again, okay? It's like, be slow to speak, watch your tongue. Those who are just like talking all the time, they're not really doers of the word. They're deceiving themselves. This is kind of like those people I was talking about, those Christians who are doers. And they're just kind of like, they have all the right stuff to say and all the, look the right way, but in their heart, right? They're just deceiving themselves. They didn't hear the word. It's worthless. All that work, all that stuff they've said, all that talk and all those things, all those great things, it's like, what is it for? Did you even do it for God? Did you even hear him? Did he ask you? Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. It's to have a life that reflects that of our Father. To reflect that of the Word, to reflect who you are. You are birthed out of the Word. That's what true religion looks like. Live out who you're supposed to be. Stop being double-minded. Stop pretending to be something else. If your mind is set on Him, you're single-minded on Christ, on the Word, this is what it's going to look like. And it's not worthless. There's so much value and worth in that. And living out who you are and being a reflection of who God is. Right? You're unstained from the world. That's the double-mindedness, right? You're the double-minded is you're part of the world and you're part with God and you're speaking God, God, God. You're not bridling your tongue. You're just saying all this stuff. But at the same time, you're seeking the world. And you're pursuing it. And it's worthless. It's like that flower that's in the field and then it fades away and it's gone the next day. That rich man pursued his riches and you know what ended up? For nothing. It was worthless. This is another theme I found throughout the first chapter of James. Do not be deceived. In verse 16, do not be deceived, my brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. The problem that we have is that we deceive ourselves so easily. Hey, it's God who's causing all the problems. He's not so great. You know, there's all this trials in my life. Oh, you know, like, I just need to, like, listen, show up to church and just hear everything, and I'll be fine. It's good. I'm a good person. Oh, I'm just going to talk about all the Christian lingo, say all the right things, and, you know, it's great. No, that's not okay. And you know how you help yourself from not being deceived? You have to understand, we're from the Word of Truth. Okay, you need to be in the truth. When you see the Bible and you see what it's all about, you see who God is. You're not going to be deceived anymore. If you read the Bible, you'll know that He's not a bad Father. You'll know that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. You know that He doesn't tempt you. When you're in your trial, you're going to stop blaming God. You're going to see the Word, you're like, God, you can actually help me through this. Right? Most of the time when we face trials, it's the opposite. We get so angry with God. We blame Him and we blame other people. We're so quick to anger. But if you're in the Word, you won't be deceived. You won't be fooled into that garbage thinking. Right? You won't just hear the Word. If you're actually in the Word, right? If you're in it for yourself, you're not just hearing me say it to you and it's just going in and out. But if you're actually living in here and you're reading the Bible for yourself, you're going to see, like, man, it's going to change your life. You're naturally going to start living out what this is telling you to do. It's not all just going to be a bunch of lip service. I say the right things in front of the right people at church. No, you're actually going to start caring for the lost. You're going to care for the orphans and the widows. You're going to see, like, God cares about these people so much in the Word. Right? Who does Jesus pursue? Your heart's going to break for those kinds of people. You're going to understand that you were one of those kinds of people. And it's going to change the way you live your life. The Word can save your life. Dwell there. Live in there. Jesus will help you not to be deceived when you're in Him, the Word in flesh. I'll just share one story before I end. And this is from my own life. When I found out that I was going to be a dad, it was a hard time for my wife and I. This was last year around January. We lived in San Francisco at the time. We lived there for about like half a year. My wife got a job at a startup in San Francisco. And she was working there. And then out of nowhere, she gets laid off. I'm like, okay, like, you know, that really sucks because we moved from our home. We moved to San Francisco for that job, and then all this, she gets laid off so randomly. It's like, okay, now we got to figure out what to do. She was the sole income maker, and I was an intern at a church and going to school full time. And so we don't have that much money, and there's no reason to live in San Francisco. It costs so much, and we have nothing for us there. We got to figure out what to do. And right after that time, we found out that my wife was pregnant. We didn't know. She was like 2 months in before we figured it out. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And we're like, okay, now what are we got to figure out how we're going to support this child. We don't even have health insurance. I don't have health insurance with my job. She doesn't have a job. Like, how are we supposed to do all these doctor's appointments and do all these things? And it seems like a really stressful situation. But it was so weird. I've never felt worried that whole time. And I told my wife, like, I think she would agree that that was one of the best times of our life. And part of it is because she had fun employment and, you know, we could just hang out and do stuff. But it's like, I really was never worried. We prayed more than we've ever prayed in our marriage during that time. We were asking God, like, God, we don't know what we're going to do in this situation. We don't know, like, how we're going to raise this child. We don't know, like, we did a lot of things we weren't supposed to do with a pregnant lady because we didn't know she was pregnant. We went skiing and did all this stuff. It could have been so bad, right? But we were just asking God. And God answered and he gave. We were never lacking. Yes, we might have lacked wisdom. We didn't know what to do. And we asked God and God gave it to us. God made us perfect and complete in the midst of our trial. And it was crazy because everything actually worked out perfectly. We had another place in Mountain View, but we were renting it out at the time. And basically the guy's lease was up like soon, like right after she lost her job, and like short, like wasn't too long. Now she works at Google. Like God, I'm not saying that every time, like, God's going to give you a Google job, okay? That's not the point. But it's like, God hears our prayers, and he cares, and he wants to give you these things. And the whole thing is, like, we didn't need the stuff. Like, we do, of course we need it, but we also don't. You know, like, we understood, like, we have a God who provides for us. We're going to trust him. We're going to trust and believe his word that he can make us perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That if we endure through this, it's going to be okay. I'm not going to be deceived into thinking that God is ruining our lives in this moment. I actually believe the opposite. God's going to help us persevere. He's going to give us the sources, the resources that we need. And he's going to gladly give it. He wants to give it. He's a God who is generous. Don't be deceived. Be in the Word. Be in prayer. God loves you. Just live out who you're called to be. And you don't have to worry about anything because you have a Father who has everything. And it's all yours. Right, it's like the prodigal son. The older son didn't understand it. He didn't get everything that was already his. He's like, you could have had this party whenever you wanted. Everything that's mine is yours. Right? He didn't understand because he didn't have this right relationship with his Father. He didn't know him. He deceived himself, right? He knew the talk. He did the right thing. He was the good person. We need to keep unstained from this world. Okay, put away all that stuff, all that filthiness, all that wickedness, that pursuit of money, whatever it is, leave it all behind. That's not who you are anymore. You are God's child. You are born from His Word. You are born of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this Word. This Word that's able to save our souls, to save our lives. God, I pray that we would bank everything on that. That we would put all of our trust, all of our faith in there. That we wouldn't be double-minded. That we wouldn't doubt it. That we wouldn't be deceived. God, I pray that You would speak into all of our hearts. Everyone in this room. That they wouldn't leave here like a man just looking in the mirror and then walking away. But God, that they would stare into Your Word. Stare into Your Son, Jesus. And God, that it would cause transformation from the inside out. Lord, I can't wait to see the kinds of things that this church will do. That they would be the kinds of people that care for the orphans and widows. The kinds of people that whose hearts break for the people Your heart breaks for. That they wouldn't show favoritism, and that they would be unstained from this world. And Lord, we pray all these things in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen.